Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Here ends our gospel lesson.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To deny conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. These infamous words of the Augustinian monk and professor Martin Luther echo through the centuries and continue to draw us to Scripture as the guide of our faith. These were not idle words delivered into the wind or printed in the hope that someone might hear them someday. His work, his faith, and his very life depended on how this phrase was received. By the grace of God, he survived. Now, these words were delivered as the closing line of Luther's defense before the Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V, at the Diet of Worms in 1521. While Charles wielded immense power in Western Europe and could order Luther's head lopped off just like that in an instant, Luther was firm that his words rested on the everlasting truth that God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ and that the grace of God can never be bought or sold. Luther's life was spared that day, and now here we stand. I suppose you guys are sitting, but here we stand, 500 years later, rejoicing that the good news of Jesus Christ has long been freed from its captivity within the Roman Church of the 16th century. Though the Diet of Worms was a defining moment in Luther's Reformation movement, it all began just over 3 years earlier, when this unknown monk from a little traveled, swampy corner of Saxony called for a debate of church malpractices and spiritual extortions committed in the name of the Pope. Walking up to the church door in Wittenberg by himself on the evening of October 31st, 1517, I really wonder, and I kind of doubt, that Luther could ever have imagined what this whole thing would become. Could he have imagined a faith Lutheran church in an unknown continent and place called Montana, far away, many centuries removed? Kind of doubt it. Luther, on that evening, was surely full of zeal, wanting to make sure that the citizens of the small fledgling town recognized the injustices of church teaching on the same day that they remembered their faithful departed family members, All Saints Day, the next morning, November 1st. Luther had been reassured that if we are baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have no need to fear for ourselves or our loved ones, because we have been washed clean by the grace of the God who loves us. Luther had been convicted by Scripture that God does actually love us little sinners in spite of our wretchedness. His words, not mine, I should say. The Pope and his church had let people writhe in fear of the wrath of God for far too long, and the church needed to change its ways. Now, Luther's insistence that we trust in Scripture's guidance more than the dictates and dogmas of popes and their cardinals revealed just how much the church had strayed from the Word of God. No longer was Christ at the head of the church and the center of its worship. No longer was the truth proclaimed in ways that it had been before. Long gone were the days when the Word of God empowered common Christians to stand in defiance of the Roman Empire. The days when Christians trusted that their faith in God was mightier than the sword. Long gone were the days when faith was the only abundance that people had during the dark centuries of poverty and violence across Western Europe that followed the fall of Rome. By Luther's day, the hierarchy of the Roman Church had overshadowed all of these things, and the leadership of the church desired that everyday believers attend to the will of the Pope more than the will of God. So, when Luther insisted that we get back to Scripture with Jesus Christ at its center, he was undermining a church structure which could not abide God's grace to be freely proclaimed and freely grasped by faith alone. The truth that the church at the time did not want people to hear is captured simply and clearly in our gospel lesson for today. Like believers in and around Wittenberg in the 1500s, I want to invite you to hear the words of Christ in everyday language once again. Imagine that. For your whole life, you had only heard Christ speaking in a foreign tongue that you did not understand. Imagine that the words you hear now had only ever been the privilege of the rich and the educated to comprehend. But now, you get to hear the bountiful words of God for the very first time. I invite you to close your eyes and let the precious words of the gospel wash over your soul. Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Ah, such a wonderful truth. How could the church hold a truth like this back? If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Friends, we are freed through our baptisms, through the meal we share every Sunday, and especially through the grace that God shows to each of us every day that we walk upon this earth. This is the truth that should never be hidden, but proclaimed for all the world to hear. One of my favorite stories of Luther's life and the Reformation is about how he struggled with what he was doing. He is known to have wrestled with self-doubt and depression, and wrote on many occasions about addressing Satan himself in prayerful fits during the dark of night. He would often feel attacked by Satan and heard the devil whispering in his ear, "Who are you to take on the Pope and defy the church?" His assurance during these dark moments came from nowhere else but the promises of Jesus Christ himself. He trusted that God has promised to save us through our baptism and claim us by the grace of God forever. He would sit at his desk and write over and over, "I am baptized." Luther doubted his work because he looked through the eyes of the world and saw himself as merely a humble monk who had no business taking on the leaders of the church. Yet in his baptism, he was reminded that in the eyes of God, he was a beloved, forgiven, redeemed sinner on equal footing with the man who sat on St. Peter's seat in Rome. Powerful stuff. There is a lesson for us in Luther's struggle, though, if we think about it a little bit differently. The better question that Luther should have wrestled with is, who are you to hide the gospel truth from others? Who are you to hide the gospel from others? Luther was compelled to speak out and act against the injustices of the church because he was convicted by Scripture that the true gospel must be preached. In his actions, he recognized that he could not keep the gospel from his neighbors because it was not right or safe to do so. When he did proclaim this gospel truth to his neighbors, he began to doubt that he was worthy to do so. But the better question for him, the church, and us everyday Christians to ask ourselves is, who do you think you are to keep the good news of Jesus Christ from others? Who are we to hide the gospel? Powerful question for our time as well as Luther's. Well, God changed the world through Luther's courage to proclaim the truth of Scripture to a world that was longing to hear it. Though he put his life on the line to do so, God provided for his well-being. And in providing for Luther's well-being, I believe that the church and the world were made a better place. We can now, 500 years later, and with the confidence of the Holy Spirit at our backs, boldly claim that we are freed by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We do not need to fear anything in this world or the next, for Christ is our light and our life. With Scripture as our guide and Christ at our center, we give thanks to God for these past 5 centuries in which the power of the gospel has been unleashed on the entire world. And here today, we look forward with faithful longing to see what God will do with the next 500 years. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.